even goes anymore.
Welcome to Flying with
Famous. I listen to the podcast, Josh.
Right.
And
Welcome to Flying with Famous, the end of the year, year in review.
Get the hell out of here, 2012.
2012 is done, 2013. Hello, come
You've
on
overstayed your welcome, 2012.
You have.
Get off the couch.
2013.
Find a freaking place to live, pal.
2013, come in, sit down, enjoy.
Yeah, come on in.
Have a beer.
Come on in, new hot young girl.
Yes, year.
Year.
Year, young.
Oh, girl. Oh, wait.
Right.
I got confused.
So you're listening to Flowing with Famous. As always, I am here, Famous Whitewater, and with me is Mike C.
Hi.
Of the Dorktown and Perfect Pour. And sure. What else?
We're in a little, the Dorkwork Network.
Wow.
Sure, whatever.
The Dorktown Network?
Dorkwork Network.
Dorkwork Network, I like it.
I don't know.
That's beautiful.
Something to tag the three podcasts.
Yeah, this guy here is a podcast mogul. Fresno podcast mogul.
Yes.
I'm going to go with that.
Yes, I earn nothing.
Well,
beer.
Right. You get more than most people.
Sure.
So there it is.
Yeah.
So what we do here on Famous, talk about all things Fresno, and it being the end of the year, we're going to talk about 2012, what mm-hmm. we thought were some of the highlights, lowlights, cool stuff that happened, et cetera. How's
right.
that sound?
Sounds fine.
All right. So,
boom.
There
number
it is.
Number one. What comes in your head, 2012? What event?
Well, here's the thing. I always have trouble with, and I have a post up on Fresno Famous actually right now, where I say as much. I have trouble with these end of the year things because it's like, I remember what happened within the last like couple weeks, but after that it gets a little crazy. And so what happened like 7 months ago? I don't know.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I get confused and I'll start talking about something and someone will be like, no, that happened in 2010.
Yeah. Well, then you have to look it up. Look it up on your own blog.
Right. Like,
what did happen?
Right. What did happen this year? And so a lot of the things that I have in my mind are stuff that happened in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
For instance... Fresno B, I think it's
a lot of B changes.
A lot of B changes. They be changing in 2012. You know, we have a new publisher, a new editor in chief, and just today, word out
Mac
that Bill McEwen will be taking over the editor, the opinion pages.
See, I thought that was Okay. Mm. All right. Now, give me the lineup then. Give me the
lineup. So, Jim Bourne is going to be the Jim Bourne, who was the opinion page editor, is moving to the editor in chief spot. That was Betsy Lumbee. She's retired. Yes.
Okay.
And I don't know. She retired. I think she retired. She wasn't fired or anything. I mean, you know.
Okay.
And then Bill McEwen is going to replace Jim Bourne. So.
Word up.
Yeah. So it should be really
but
cool.
Is Bill
cool
McEwen
to see.
Still going to have his column?
He will probably have a column, but I don't think it'll be the same. It definitely won't be in the like metro section like it was before.
Here we go.
Dog problems happening. We'll just have Reed cut this out. It's no big deal.
Cut this out.
It's no big deal. Or he can just
just add it in.
Add in some extra. Like we're taking a dog break. It's fine.
All right. We're okay. We're back.
All right. Good. So I'm assuming he'll do a column similar to what Jim Bourne has done in the past, usually on weekends, I think. And then he'll be in charge of, you know, collecting all of the letters to the editor and all the Valley Voices and all that good kind of stuff. And I'm hoping that he'll be a little more even-handed, let's say, with the choices there. Because it seems
the letters
and the Valley Voice. It seems like lately things have been a little one-sided, you know? You get a lot of these, like, crazy crackpots.
It's like,
let's
put the crackpot letters in.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess that makes for good reading, but... And then, and the Valley Voice is the same way, you know? You get a bunch of these, like... Victor David Hansen kind of.
Yeah.
You know, so speaking of, I saw this today, and this.
What has Victor done now?
No, it wasn't. It's not about Victor, but I found this today. It's a website called The Real Fresno Bee. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay. So it's essentially a website created by a Fresno Bee, one of the trolls from that commented on the Fresno Bee site, who got fed up with the fact that the Fresno Bee wouldn't let them people comment on their stories anymore.
Uh-huh.
Because people like him were
just ruining
you know,
it.
Being crazy. And so he created his own website, The Real Fresno Bee, which essentially links to Fresno Bee stories and then allows you to comment on their page. And he says, like, right up, I don't care what you say. Be as disrespectful and whatever as you want. I don't care. No one's going to get offended. Blah, blah, blah. And so it's a whole website of essentially like...
website of trolls.
Right.
Just hating.
I mean, that's essentially what it is. It's pretty new, I think. And so I'm not sure what the
probably
reaction.
Should be giving it publicity.
No,
but
I'm going to because
I want to see it though.
It's really the coolest thing in the world. And for the Fresno Bee, it's awesome because it all links back to the Fresno Bee, right? So they're still getting their hits,
still
right?
Getting the hits.
And then it gives a place for all those the trolls to just like kind of congregate and hang out, so they won't be doing on the bee anymore.
Yeah,
so if you're into like reading those horrendous comments,
yes,
you can go
make you disappointed about in Fresno
in humanity.
General, humanity,
but I think and it's so great because it's like you know this guy is just trashing the bee right and left, and yet he links straight back to all the bee stories. So it's like. Do you not understand?
Look at how this bee sucks. How I read it up and down.
Right. Every day.
Backwards and forwards.
It doesn't make sense. Anyway, so Fresno Bee, lots of changes happening.
And then the paywall that's set up now.
Yeah.
Although I haven't
digital
noticed.
Digital subscription.
I haven't noticed anything.
Yeah.
Like, not that I don't go on them a lot as much as I used to, but I still go on them. Because I get the bee delivery.
Well, I know
like
there
copy.
There have been a few people. Ed Stewart was one who came up against the paywall.
Oh,
and
you see, Ed goes
on the Beehive. Actually, he came up against the paywall, and so he's and he said, you know, he was kind of on the fence about.
He was on the mega cast we did, and he said that he wouldn't use it anymore if he had to pay. He would just go somewhere else.
Go.
But I don't know
where you
would
go.
Where
are you going
to
go? Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, no offense to the television news websites locally, but they're not, you know, they're not the same caliber as the Bee.
No.
They're just not set up that way. So they're set up for TV news. And when you put them in a writing stories kind of thing, it just doesn't hold up as well. It's not as relevant, I guess. So, I mean, it's the bee or nothing.
And you know, I think that, to me anyway, it seems like the Fresno Bee and McClatchy, generally, are really making a push, and I think in 2013 we're going to see it, to sort of create and deliver content specifically for this new kind of digital subscription, you know? So really make a push for to get the websites... all of them sort of operating at a higher level so that people will be willing and, you know, wanting to pay their subscription and, you know, get that content. So,
yeah.
Fingers crossed. I think it's,
it's just
all
not,
of that.
I mean, I think people need to remember, I think we talked about this before, but that it's not like the bee came up with this. This is happening everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just the sign of the times. I mean, so it's not like the Fresno Bee was like, hey, let's set up a paywall.
Right,
it's a McClatchy, major news paper
and,
site.
And I do think
this.
That McClatchy and the Fresno Bee understand that they need to start thinking differently about the types of things that they're doing. Because if you're going to charge people for things, you know, you can't expect people to want to pay money for something that they got for free if, you know, what they're getting is the exact same thing.
Right.
You know, but if they can come and offer some new, new features, bells and whistles, blah, blah, blah. The EB on a tablet is supposed to be really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that there will probably be some, they will start packaging and figuring out ways to deliver stories that are more suited to those kind of things. That's what I see anyway. So I'm pretty excited about it from a working at the Beep standpoint. Yeah. I'm excited about it, but also from a outside standpoint as far as what we're gonna get, you know. So that's number one,
right,
for me anyway.
And the big one for me was the combination. There's the radio, the KMJ Kino,
yeah,
ESPN radio, the whole. Different stories going on.
The whole thing, yeah.
The main thing is, the biggest thing in the end was that, yeah. All right, so Kino restructuring, basically, right. ESPN 1430 at the time joined forces with Kino because Kino bought the, basically got the same signal as KMJ. A while ago, and we made the call.
We did.
That's inside
info. Well, you made the call.
That this was directly. They were planning to go after the.
They were trying to make a coup on the Fresno State contract.
And eventually, what happened? Kino ends up moving back to their signal, or they Kino takes over the old ESPN 1430.
Right. Yeah.
And they used and went back to their old format,
right,
of oldies. And ESPN 1430 moves to the Kino signal, the 940.
Right, with the 50,000 watts.
And once they do that, at the same time, the Fresno State contract is up with KMJ. Fresno State would rather be on a sports station,
right,
that can dedicate themselves to Fresno State rather than the KMJ, which is a news station.
Right.
And basically, Kino ESPN/ESPN offers Fresno State the same deal that KMJ is, mm-hmm, offering,
mm-hmm,
and they go with Kino ESPN because it's a sports station.
Sports,
it's better.
Station. Right.
They can promote Fresno State much better than KMJ
suited.
Can,
and they can deliver on all of the sports.
Right. So
well,
it's,
yeah,
like all now. It's all Fresno State's all under one umbrella. They can be promoted all the time.
Right.
They can take over any. There's no Rush Limbaugh isn't going
to
be a precedent over some Fresno State game.
Right.
So that's big for Fresno State and big for Kino/ESPN. So KMJ loses that they've had for years. And
at the same time that they lose
Ray Appleton and Sean Hannity and all these major conservative syndicated shows.
That will be the interesting thing, I think, will be seeing how KMJ restructures or plays that all out, and whether or not they'll be able to sort of weather the storm, let's say, and come back as strong as
they've
they
just been for years and years, just been the huge... You know, way atop the rankings of the ratings. Just not even, nobody can even touch them.
Right.
And now it's going to be really interesting.
And it'll be interesting to see now that, you know, those Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, all of those people have now moved to another channel here locally.
Oh, okay.
And I can't think of who it is, but it's a Clear Channel station.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how that station does in the ratings. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, will the Rush Limbaugh fan, are the people who are listening to KMJ Rush Limbaugh fans who are going to move over to this other station and disregard KMJ altogether, you know? And I mean, I'm sure that Ray Appleton has his fans and Inga and Charlie Daniel and to whoever else.
Charlie Daniels. Charlie Daniels.
What's his name?
Charlie Daniels. Music. He has his own show.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, sure.
Chris Daniels.
Yeah.
There you go.
Don't call him Daniels. Chris, don't call me Daniels. Daniel.
Is it Daniel?
It's Daniel, and he hates being called Daniels.
I'm sorry, Chris. He could be listening to this, and if he is, I want to apologize so he doesn't call me out on his radio show.
Yeah, you don't want that.
There you go. So it'll be interesting to see, and I think, you know, there's a little bit of an opportunity, I think, happening right now for them. Mm-hmm. If they really want to dedicate themselves to local talk.
They are
going to,
on Rick Bentley's column, he talked about they're going to have in the morning that the Rush Limbaugh spot is going to be Jennifer Lipp and John Brosky.
Okay.
Going to have a show.
Okay.
At the 9 a.m. slot. And Jennifer Lipp is a long time from the front row.
Yeah.
And John Brosky was a long time boss at KMJ.
Right.
So, I don't know. That'll be interesting. I don't know what they're going to do, but...
Hey, look.
I guess it's going to be sort of a lead-in for Ray Appleton.
Right. So. Well, the more local stuff they can do, the better, I say.
Yeah.
You know?
It's definitely better than... Definitely better than Rush, no matter what they're going to talk about.
Right.
It's still better than Rush, so...
Yeah. Okay, so, local... And, you know, there was some other local radio stuff, that happened this year.
The local show on KFSR?
Well, that's not
Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m.?
That's not what I was going to say. I was actually going to talk about Osmosis.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Just in general, the idea that, you know, there was a push, it seems like, from various places to get more local music or just a different kind of take on local music. On the air. So, and I think Osmosis is great in that you don't really get that kind of local attention from on a major
radio station,
at least not here.
Yeah,
you know.
They seem like they let him completely program without any influence.
Mm-hmm.
Just he just plays what he wants to play on there.
And they have, you know, their Listen Local Band of the Week, which I think is great. And so I think that's super cool. And I think, you know, that's something to look out for in 2013 as well. You know, I do have my show, the local show.
Yeah.
And glad to do
all local music for an hour.
All local music for 1 hour.
90.7.
And, yeah, so I think that's an interesting thing as well, and hopefully in the new year that's gonna grow.
Yeah, you and Jamie have a nice little repartee,
witty banter.
Witty banter
is what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good. I'm right there on that.
Well, something you probably forgot about because it was earlier in the year. Almost forgot about
it.
Water meters.
Oh,
you don't have to worry about it because you live in a downtown loft.
Yeah.
Because you're a hipster.
Well. Yes.
But you're in a hipster loft.
I'm in a hipster loft. Water.
But us people that live in the burbs, we have the water, you know, Fresno is gone forever. One of the last cities in the country to not have their water metered.
Which is odd.
But yeah, because
in the middle of the
water conscious
desert
area.
Yeah.
Where, you know, ag is constantly battling for
give
water.
Us more water, and yet the, you know.
And then we're just, the residents are all like, I'm watering the crap out of my grass. Suck it. I'm not paying for jack.
It's raining? So, so you have a meter now.
Yep.
And what's the difference?
Go ahead. About 15, for me, it's about 15 bucks more. 10 to 15 bucks more. So, I mean, some people will say, it's, you know, a little less, but for me, I guess I got too much sprinkler action.
Yeah, well, you
a
need
lot
to
of
re-
sprinklers.
Go ahead and
reset. I don't have a huge patch of grass.
Reset that then or
but
something.
But I have a whole lot of shrubbery.
Right, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I have a pool too, so that hurts. But, yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, I was kind of hesitant, but I was worried because...
You thought it was going to be
knows
much
what,
more.
Yeah, it could have been a lot more. So,
yeah. Well, I think it's something that, you know, like a lot of...
And make the point of it is it makes me think about what, you know, when the water's on, need to shut that off.
Yeah.
Which
is the whole point, you know. Because if we don't do something like this now, someday we'll be like Australia where they get, you know, 5 gallons of water a day
per
person. It's like you get a 2-minute shower, go.
Yeah. I think we probably should move a little more towards what, say, I used to live in Phoenix for a little bit, where most everyone's landscape is sort of just you know, cactus and kind of rock.
For
and
shame,
rock,
Mike.
Then that kind
Mike.
Of that kind of landscaping.
I need.
And
we need our grass.
Fresno needs to do that.
And our oak trees.
Yeah, we need the redwoods that soak up the most water ever. But we have, you know, redwoods everywhere around here.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably true. But you know, we like the way we live.
We like it. We like acting like
which,
we're
and
in
I think it's awesome that that's fine. We can have these things, but now we're going to be forced to pay for
it. And that's that's cool. At least we can not feel. I don't feel as guilty because like, hey, I'm paying for it.
Yeah,
so suck it.
If I want to water my lawn,
water the
while it's raining.
I've never been a spray down my driveway guy.
Right? Yeah,
that guy needs to go. I'm not a spray down the driveway guy. I sweep, but. But other than that, you know, I don't feel bad.
Cool.
You know?
Yeah. Let's see. What else? What else you got on your list there? I have
my
some more things,
I have a band of the year. I have a pick for band of the year for
me. Okay.
Light Thieves.
Oh, yeah?
I liked my favorite band this year was Light Thieves.
Okay.
Outside of It'll Go Back. I am an It'll Go Back.
You don't have to go there with it.
You've been around for what? 10 years?
50, 60 years. No. Yeah. It's
but you got It'll Go Back played a lot this year.
We
and
did,
that has
man.
To be respected.
It is ridiculous. Sometimes I'm like, wow.
You played so much that your bassist was like, I'm out.
He's like, I'm out.
This is ridiculous.
He's like, really, guys? Another show? No. Okay, so tell me what is it about the Light Thieves
the core of Fierce Creatures is basically the Light Thieves, which Mike Adame and all it's a version of Fierce Creatures, mm-hmm. but it's kind of got it's just a little bit more edgier to me and a little more experimental.
Yeah.
And a little spacier, and just I like them, and I think they're working on an album right now. So I'd be interested to hear what a full album is like from them, and what 2013 brings.
Yeah, they definitely. I would say as far as like bands that grabbed people's attention, I think they were right there, up with the best of them. Can we get a clip? From can we put a clip in?
Oh yeah,
because that'd be really cool.
Read.
Yeah, so I think they definitely caught some people's attention, and it's interesting to me that you know, Fierce Creatures was very much I thought on their way to doing some big things, and maybe they still are. So to see this sort of divergence into whatever Light Thieves is doing is really cool. So for my local pick,
band of the year,
and I don't think it can be like one. Band, I think it's a sort of it's a grouping of bands. It's the Friendcore bands, and these are all those guys who are playing down at
what
Cafe,
are some of the Friendcore bands?
Cafe Info Shop. So it's like Restaurant, and Sci-Fi Caper, and any of Strawberry Jam, any of Garth Clifton's bands. Murder Park, I think, is the one that he's in now. Mm-hmm. But there's just a whole like a group of bands, and they're all friends, and they all like play these shows down in Chinatown, and they hang out and they record albums, and I think it's really cool. To me, it's like that is what a scene is sort of all about, and I think and there's a bunch of bands, I guess, from Hanford as well, that they just had a big friend fest. had all these bands playing, and I wasn't able to make it out, but still, really cool stuff happening down there. So for me, I think that's some of the most exciting music that's happening. And then, you know,
Sea of Sound was big this year.
Sea of Sound.
I've not gotten out to see them live.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen them live, but they do some really good recordings. You know, I thought their recordings were really awesome.
And I know you're big on Populous's album.
Oh yeah, the Ghosts of Unit, blah blah blah, 3717 something, whatever it was. Yeah, if I had to say a local release that I thought that's by far, I think, my favorite local release that I've heard this year. Yeah, really good stuff. I don't think he recorded that, and then I think it was the DJ or somebody who had one of his the crew that helped put that together died like shortly after. Wow. It was released, and I don't think he's really done any of that stuff live. But yeah, really awesome album. I think so.
Main Horse. Horse.
So this was the other thing. So I was going to say, so the Frontcore stuff, I think, Main Horse, but in general, all of this like hardcore, post-punk,
like
whatever. Yeah. All this stuff that's happening down at the CYC again, I think is, really kind of awesome, you know.
And I noticed this year that more bands were let into, more of those kind of hardcore melodic core bands were let in. The Cup of Joe had that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they had Cup of Joe seemed to be kind of branching out maybe a little bit, and I think a scene or a music community, us old people. like we can't support a scene, you know. Yeah, I mean, we have other stuff going on, so really your scene's only as good as the youngsters, and like I think these guys are doing some really cool stuff. So,
and Fulton, far as venue goes, Fulton 55 still doing their thing. Audie's still consistent.
Who would you say, and we'll talk about maybe some of this, but best venue this year in your mind? As far as who consistently put on...
I found myself at Fulton 55 the most.
Oh, uh-huh.
I mean, I still... If I'm going to pick one over the other, I'm still going to pick Audie's.
Right.
But I did find myself, for whatever reason,
right.
I'm not sure if it was because it did have better shows or not, but just happened to be the shows that I could go to
right.
more. But it seemed like I was at Fulton 55 the most this year.
I probably went to Audie's more, but the shows that stick out in my mind were all at Fulton 55. So I think Fulton 55 did, and I think in conjunction with Love the Captive did a really good job of bringing in bands this year.
Yeah.
You know, and especially in the last, couple months, I think Love the Captive just really went all out bringing in bands. Although I have to say,
Love the Captive came back this year. Yeah. It was kind of gone for a while.
He was gone for a while in the beginning of the year and came back in the last part of the year. I mean, really put on, some of the best shows that I've seen. So and Fulton 55, I think they're continuing bringing in some really great bands. The showings, as far as the people showing up and buying tickets, haven't probably been as great as they had hoped or as you would want, but I mean, I still think they're bringing in just the best bands are going there. Although I have to say, Audie's continually brings in some solid acts too.
Yeah, and Babylon for the metalheads has been very consistent and bringing in a lot of stuff.
I don't get out there enough, and I wish I did, and I wish maybe I was into some more of that kind of metal stuff. But
I'm kind of disappointed and worried at the same time about Starline. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. At least it's still going.
Right.
If you'd have showed me like how little it was used this year, I would say, wow, it's probably closed, but it's still there. It's still going, but.
And they have
there needs to be more shows at Starline.
Well, they have a lot of those
no reason to go there.
Retro 80s bands coming through there.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of the cover bands, the tribute bands coming through.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I guess they're keeping it afloat at least.
Yeah. So, okay, venues 2012 best show that you saw.
Ah, crap. Well, I mean, I'm biased about the Fuse Fest. Every year it's the Fuse Fest for me. So, yeah.
Good answer.
That's 100% true. I'm not just saying it. But, I mean, I know the one outside of Fuse Fest that's the most interesting was the Fierce Creatures Fulton Mall
Catacomb Party. On the Fulton Mall, yeah.
Where, you know, they probably drew the most of any local show this year. Because it was free, mm-hmm. So you got to factor that in. But I think, 40 Watt Hype had a couple of big shows this year. I know at Fulton 55, and I think they had a show at Tower this year.
I believe they did.
That was this year, and I think they sold that out. So when you're having, you know, a local show at Tower, I think Frashawn had a big show at Tower this year.
I want to say. I think he had a show at Tower and
at the Fairgrounds.
At the Fairgrounds. And so those are some, maybe Warner's Theater too.
Those are some, pretty important shows. And yeah, I like that. I think in 2013, you're going to see Warner's Theater is going to be having a little bit more impact because. Yeah.
I hope so.
I think management there is kind of changed and ready,
ready to go,
and eager to do some interesting stuff. And I think I'd love to see Warner's have a bigger impact.
I saw it's fun. So I guess Fuse Fest was my favorite. but I think
even though we have to say it, but we still
I think there were a smattering of shows that just sort of blew me away, and none of them were really like local shows in quotes per se, but Outer National, who came through and played with they played with Basura and someone else. They were ridiculously awesome. American Sharks came through. They played with Light Thieves and Strange Vine, and they were like one of those bands that it's like, aha, these guys are going to be huge, you know. Sad Horse, I saw a couple times this year at Tokyo Garden, and they're just this crazy duo, loud kind of punk rocky stuff. Broncho, who my band just played with
at
Fulton 55. So,
Broncho.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were a ton of like really kind of cool shows, a lot of stuff. Greg Ginn, who came to the Fulton 55, totally flew under the radar.
Yeah, has a lot of shows happened to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think 2012 was a really good year, and I'm not sure if it's because I'm a little more plugged in now that I have the radio show, but this is the most excited I've been about local music since I was like 2004, and I was doing stuff with Grey Tank Records and all that. So I'm really looking forward to the next year.
Yeah, should be good. Another thing, a new thing for Fresno,
go
Card Hop.
Oh yeah,
you wrote about him on Fresno Famous.
Yeah, Card Hop, man,
check out Josh's FresnoFamous.com
about 2012. I was there today, in fact.
Was today's the Fulton Mall one? Thursdays is the Fulton Mall. Is it Tuesdays? Is the
Tuesdays
North End?
North End, yeah. And we've talked about it before. Essentially, it's a cart hop. It's sort of like off the grid in San Francisco or other places have these like cart hop. These food truck gatherings.
Food trucks get together and.
And so, we have...
Piss off the brick and mortars.
Right, yeah. And so, we have this... we have Cart Hop, and it's down on the Fulton Mall on Thursdays. And it's awesome because there's, I don't know, 5-6 different vendors, let's say, or trucks there. You have Benediction and some of these other places. Takeo Barbecue. But Dusty Buns...
Dusty Buns.
Dusty Buns is the one with still the line, you know. It. I mean, they're just, you
still
know.
Still killing it.
That's the place people want to go.
Yep.
You know? And I understand why.
Yeah.
If you have had the Dusty Bun, then you understand.
Still good.
But Cart Hop, yeah, I think that's great. And I want to see that explode. I would love to see, you know, I would love to see, you know, 15 trucks out there and people being able to get all sorts of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In also tying into that is this public market that they're hoping to get downtown. And it's in the planning phases for the old Gottschalk's building on the Fulton Mall.
That would be
which the city owns
sweet.
Part of that, I guess. And they want to put in a public market, which is sort of like, I don't know, the Ferry Building at San Francisco. Have you seen that? Been to the Ferry Building in San Francisco?
Yeah, I have.
I
drove by it.
Right. Well, so it's pretty high class. But and there's other ones. I think there's one in Emeryville, I think, has one. And
so,
I don't know.
Something in the vein other places. Of Pike's.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Seattle.
Yeah.
That I've been to.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that, and which is cool because Fresno has a lot of weird.
Fresno's, you know, we're the biggest city in the middle of the biggest
of the world.
Agricultural region in the world. We should have the badass food market.
Well, and we have lots of food producers too. You know, we have lots of companies that are sending produce and sending product all around the world. So it only makes sense that you know we would have something that. So. I'm excited about that, and I hope that'll happen in 2013 as well. Yeah,
there you go. That's what you're looking forward to.
Boom, food.
2012,
food and beer,
music, beer
and music. And
craft beer scene keeps growing.
Yeah, I think that's been
Tioga Sequoia's.
That's been really interesting.
Been
rising
up, and they bought they basically bought like a part of a block.
They have a whole
downtown,
block downtown
almost.
Yes.
And they'll be opening up a tasting room this year, 2013.
Nice.
And we'll
see, that's what
there's a couple other breweries that are I think it's called Pendragon. That's on the verge of being out there in the public. And I think Fresno's going to keep growing.
That'll be great. It would be really nice to have, you know, four or five different breweries and, brew hop.
There you go. Or have a part of the Fuse Fest.
That hop thing is overdone. But my point being that, four or five different places would be really cool to have that kind of stuff. Anything else? What else? 2012. I'm coming up against the
podcasting. More podcasting.
Has there been more podcasting?
No. Well, actually, in general, podcasting, 2012 was a big year for podcasting.
Not locally, let's say.
Not
but
necessarily
in general,
locally,
yeah.
But in general, that, it's just becoming more and more popular and there's more and more of them.
Right.
It's a really tiny slice of the pie, podcast listeners, but that it's still growing. That slice is growing a little bit.
Early adopters.
Yeah.
The people who are listening to our show.
The first podcast.
8 years
ago.
Yeah.
8 years ago. Before
breaking all
famous
the rules.
Began with
with a dream.
Name. Yeah, with
a dream.
Green
name,
Malcolm Sosa, and Jerry Houston.
And little did they know. Eight years later.
A couple of jackheads.
Jackheads would be taken over.
Right, calling themselves Flowing the Famous.
They
at least
probably,
Reed's still here.
They probably hit themselves every day.
Yeah,
come on, guys. Like I said before, it's really difficult for me to put together these kind of end of the year review things.
It's a good thing there's things Fresno Famous and the Beehive where you can try and look back and see what the hell did happen.
Right, which is what I had to do for my post I put up that I have up. I had to look back and say, okay, wait a second, what happened?
What year was that? Was that this year?
And there were a couple things that I thought happened this year that happened in 2011. Oops. Shows you where my mind's at. But anything else for you, for the good of the cause, before we say goodbye to all of our listeners and move on into 2013?
Nothing.
You got nothing. Got nothing. Okay.
More
so,
Star Wars.
Really? That's where you're gonna go with it? More Star Wars
for a local show. More Star Wars. Maybe more we can get some Star Wars. We can talk to our Fresno Film Commissioner
and get some more.
Somehow find some locations for the new Star Wars movie.
Let's try to make that happen.
Yeah, some valley locations for the
only
Star
if
Wars
Jar Jar's here.
Only Jar Jar.
I want
only
Jar Jar. Damn it.
Misa like Fresno.
Misa like Fresno. Oh, Jar Jar.
All right. What do you got? Anything
well,
else,
no,
Josh?
I mean, I think this was a really good podcast. Mike, I want to thank you again for being here.
Oh, thank
with
you
us
for showing up
through this
the late of night
with a
long day. And so, doing, this, damn it, I still want a podcast.
I know. It's been nice to do the podcast, and you know this is what episode 5 of the revamped
the relaunch,
and we'll keep it up into 2013, and hopefully we'll get some listeners who will you know call us out on whatever crap because we're just saying stuff here. We don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, really,
mostly.
Call us out. You can email me, mike@thefresnan.com.
Or you can't email. Just email Mike.
Josh.
And tell him. And tell him what you think.
Not that many people use email anymore. It's
who uses email? Just text me. You have my number.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, I think it's been a good year. I think there's a lot of exciting stuff happening into the new year. Fresno, looking up. Well.
What? We're not?
We're looking up.
Oh,
I was
the
just thinking,
trash. The trash.
There was the trash. And
that's
there was
still
the,
not all worked out
there
yet.
There was the story about the, I think it was Sunday maybe, about the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Oh, yeah. We wasted
report.
A bunch of money.
We wasted a bunch of money doing a bunch of stupid shit. We
pissed away
and,
a bunch of money.
It just really made us look bad. And I read that story going, God.
We're all oopsie.
Really? And then
HUD's Craig, all, dude, what are you guys doing?
Craig Sharton.
We're like, and then Fresno was like, whoa, you guys are watching what we're doing? we're like, yeah, we gave you a bunch of money.
Yeah, we gave you a bunch of money. We put someone in City Hall
and
there.
We're all, and Fresno's like, he's around here somewhere.
Yeah.
Who was that?
What was his name? Anyway, yeah, I read that story and I was just like, come on, we can do better than all this.
Yeah.
The homeless thing
an endless cycle.
You know what we need to talk about, and we won't talk about it now because it's late in the podcast, but this guy who is suing Fresno State, this O'Brien gentleman. Have you been following
his
story?
About 20 people sue Fresno State every year.
Yeah, it's the guy who was opposing the Dream Act back, and he made this big stink about the USU president not being a legal resident.
Oh,
blah, blah,
yes.
Blah.
Okay.
He is now suing.
That nice person.
He is now suing Fresno State, and there's a whole big story, and we'll talk about it maybe next time because I think it's really a funny and interesting story. In the meantime, I think people should go and listen to The Perfect Pour, listen to Dorktown.
Sure.
Any other plugs you'd like to make?
Find it. If you're not listening to us, or if you are listening to us on iTunes, go and rate it.
Rate it,
give
yeah.
Give it some 5 stars.
5 stars. Four stars, even.
If you're on Stitcher, thumbs,
2.5,
thumbs
whatever.
Up it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's all you got to do.
Wonderful. And
search us out, Flowing with Famous, on just Google it.
Yeah. And, you know, if you find us, go ahead and send us a message. Let us know what you'd like us to talk about, because we're open for that kind of stuff, too.
Why aren't you talking about this?
Hey, guys. You missed...
We'll talk about it.
Blah, blah, blah. Because we don't know everything.
No.
You know?
Lord, no.
We try. I try to.
Try.
But
a little bit more than the average Fresnan, but...
Right. Oh,
still.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know.
And the average Fresnan. What are they doing?
Yeah, well, true. All right. Well, that's it for us here on Flowing with Famous for 2012. We'll see you in 2011. Thanks for listening.
2011? All right, we'll see you back in 2011.
We're traveling back in time.
See you back there.
Wow. I hope that Reed can fix that.
Reed can fix it.
Fix it in post.
He can
Reed.
Say
2013.
All of a sudden, you'll hear Reed's voice.
2013.
Wow. I just embarrassed myself. Good night.